Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of The Ambibulous, a show where we discuss a variety of topics regarding alcohol. From specific beer styles, distillation, the brewing process, wine, spirits, and even a history of certain liquor laws, there's a fascinating world to explore. On this episode, we kick off the Taster series with a discussion about the Scottish wee heavy beer style. Joining me today is Dylan Schaefer, owner of Dialectic Brewing Company here in Mandan, North Dakota. I am your host, Connor Brecky. Let's all raise a glass to the Ambibulous. Welcome back to the show, Dylan. Thank you for joining us. Got some good stuff to talk about today. What do you have for us?
Yeah, so I brought our Wee Heavy Scotch Ale. It is called the Helpful Shepherd Wee Heavy.
And we each have our own glass of it. It is a very beautiful leathery brown color.
Start things off right with a quick sip of it, you know, get it fresh in your memory.
Right.
Yeah, so definitely the first thing you're going to notice on this beer is it does have kind of an off-white, really thick head when you first pour the beer, of course. And it does have that nice off-white to kind of tan-colored head, and then a beautiful, rich, kind of almost auburn color to it. Like you said, that nice red leathery color to it.
Just like the couch we're sitting on right now, kind of.
Exactly.
It's definitely a bit stronger. Hence the name Wee Heavy.
It is, yep. And this is currently the strongest beer we have on our tap lineup. It comes in at 8.5%. So it's nothing that's going to knock you on your butt too hard, but it does have a little bit of alcohol warmth to it, that's for sure. And this beer does have a real special place in my heart. It's kind of been, I've had a long history of brewing this beer, so I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more of the history of my experience with this beer in another episode yet, too.
Yep. For the listeners, stay tuned. We got some great stuff coming up.
Yeah, and I guess to start with, the first thing I always get when I go into tasting this beer is you're going to start off with, obviously, a really rich, sweet malt character. The beer does finish out at a higher terminal gravity, so it has quite a bit of that residual sweetness left in there. You get a lot of those kind of rich, caramely characters. Some chocolate, caramel, toffee, things like that. The yeast does provide a nice little sweet fruity ester to almost a dates or raisins character in there.
So how far back does this style go roughly?
Well, Scottish beer styles in general do date back as far as 5,000 years. The Scotch ale and Scottish ales that we're familiar with today in the craft beer industry really date back to about the 1800s. There is kind of a few different styles that fall within that Scotch ale. Traditionally in Scotland, they range from basically how expensive the beer was. So you had your Scottish lights, your heavies, your exports, and then your wee heavies being the biggest of them. A lot of times you'll see to them referred to as 60, 70, 80, and 90 shilling beers. And that just is a reference to what the price of those beers cost. So that's a lot of how they break it down. The wee heavy being the biggest and most expensive in that realm. And that one usually comes in pretty much over 6% is kind of the style guideline on that one, that you got to be over 6% for it to be a wee heavy. And you're definitely going to notice there's not a lot of hop character to this beer. It's really reminiscent of kind of the Scottish version of like an English barley wine. So you get that real rich.
Yes, it definitely has that.
Big, rich malt character, just enough hops to kind of keep everything balanced on there for sure. It's just it's a great winter style. It's, I guess for me, it's a great any time of year style. Just got to do it in moderation.
I would agree with you. Beer is good any time of the year.
And I wouldn't argue with those people one bit.
Nope.
Yeah. So traditionally, as far as brewing this style of beer, there is going to be some unique aspects to it. One of the big things where you get that nice, rich caramel character from is coming somewhat from the malts, but we also do a very, very extensive boil on this one. So this particular beer does get a 120-minute boil on it. A lot of the industry standard on most beers is going to be about a 60-minute boil. So this is boiled for double the amount of time, and what that does is it kind of helps to create some kettle caramelization. That very, very rigorous boil for a long time starts to caramelize some of those grain sugars that you have in the wort. And that gives it that really nice, rich character.
Yeah, that beautiful, kind of maple syrupy color.
Yep. Yeah, you get kind of that maple syrupy, little bit of kind of light molasses color to it. Yeah, and I guess there is a pretty wide variety, too, when you see people brewing the Scotch ale. The style does have some ambiguity to it, and there's even a lot of historical debate as to what makes a Scotch ale a Scotch ale. In today's beer market, you are going to see Scotch ales and wee heavies pretty much used interchangeably as being the kind of heavy end of those Scottish ale beers. So your Scottish lights, everything like that, they'll be labeled as a Scottish ale or a 60 shilling or whatever. The wee heavies and Scotch ales are going to kind of be used interchangeably to refer to the biggest version of it, the highest alcohol version of it.
Okay. I was kind of curious about that myself.
Yeah. And the name wee heavy actually comes from some particular brewers in Edinburgh. And they would serve, this beer was typically served in a very, very small bottle, you know, usually like a 6 to 8 ounce bottle. And so it was a wee bottle of the Scottish heavy. That's where that kind of term wee heavy comes from.
Oh, okay. That paints a pretty cool picture.
Yeah.
One's
yeah.
mine. This yeah, it does
a
for me.
Little bit of history backstory on how that name has kind of come about. And again, you do see them used interchangeably. Some brewers are going to market theirs exclusively as Scotch ale, and you'll never see them refer to it as a wee heavy. Even as far as like the BJCP, the Beer Judge Certification Program, if you enter beer to be judged in their program, they lump the Scotch ale and the wee heavy all together. So, it's kind of an ambiguous style, but for the most part, if you see those terms, you're going to be getting the high alcohol, fuller bodied, heavy version of that Scotch ale.
So it's kind of like a tomato, tomato, potato, potato, but
exactly.
Everybody has their own little play on how they want to do it.
And a lot of breweries today will use just what markets better. For me, ours is called the Helpful Shepherd. I personally think the Helpful Shepherd Wee Heavy markets better than the Helpful Shepherd Scotch Ale. So a lot of people will pick which name just kind of flows better and markets better for their whatever their marketing campaign happens to be with that beer.
Yeah, that's a massive part of sales and everything.
Exactly.
Just how you word it.
And our Wee Heavy does, the one we brew here at Dialectic, does have some unique components to it. There's kind of two categories you'll tend to see on the Wee Heavy line, either just a classic Wee Heavy or a lightly smoked Wee Heavy. We do a lightly smoked Wee Heavy. There is a huge argument if that is acceptable in traditional Scottish brewing to use a smoked malt. I like the character that a peat smoked malt gives it. And it's not an overly smoky beer. The idea is you want to find kind of the right balance. Anything smokier than this, you would likely categorize as a smoked beer instead of a Wee Heavy. But it gives you just that little bit of earthy, smoky character, little peat moss smoke character in there. And I think it adds to the complexity of an already very, very complex beer.
Right. And then for lovers of like Laphroaig or any type of peat smoked liquor,
yep,
it definitely is reminiscent of that.
Yeah, you get the sweetness, obviously, of that heavy malt forward beer. But it really doesn't finish too sweet either. You get that fairly dry finish with that little bit of smoke in there. And I do think that for some of the whiskey drinkers, some of the Scotch drinkers, that is an appealing character as they're transitioning over to beer as well.
It's definitely a good middle ground. Like if you're not sure what you want to get into, try this. If you like the Scotch in the hard alcohol world, give this a shot, you know.
And this one is fun, too, because apart from that peat smoked character, I'm not a huge Scotch drinker myself. I have family members that are, and they always explain the different types of Scotches to me as, you know, you have some that are going to be a little fruitier, a little sweeter, and then you got your ones that are going to be a little bit smokier and a little bit drier. The nice thing about this beer is that it can kind of appeal to both of those types of Scotch drinkers. You do get that slightly dry, smoky finish on it. But then for ours, you get a little bit of that yeast ester in there, too, that kind of raisin dates character that's reminiscent of one of those fruitier, richer scotches as well.
Basically, it's the best of both worlds, in my opinion.
I'm all for that, too. This is my I hate to say it because it is kind of like picking a favorite child, but this is probably my favorite beer that I brew. I have been brewing it for a long, long time, and it just holds a special spot in my heart. It's the Wee Heavies are one of the styles that I fell in love with when I even first started drinking craft beer. I wasn't a big hoppy beer drinker. I liked the malt forward beers, and I fell in love with the Scotch Ales and the Wee Heavies because they just have so much complexity and so much character without being an overly hopped beer.
That's generally what I like. I mean, I'm a huge sour person, but I don't dislike IPAs. I'm still trying to find the ones that I really like, but I've always enjoyed something like this that's more along like possibly a fine wine or a really nice scotch or something that just kind of rounds out everything, that doesn't really hit you with one overpowering characteristic or another. And yes, this one definitely is very well rounded out.
And I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think the beauty of the Scotch Ale is that there's not any one dominant characteristic that's just in your face. In my mind, the style is all about nuance. You want to get a lot of different flavors and a lot of stuff going on, and you don't really want them overpowering each other. You want to be able to pick all of that up on the palate as you sip the beer. And it truly is a good sipping beer, especially because as you cradle that glass and warm it up a little bit, those flavors just come out more and more and more in it.
And you don't want to chug it because of the high alcohol content too. Or yep. Maybe you do. Maybe you have a designated driver and that's fine.
Or you're sitting at home around the bonfire. And I mean, it's a really good one for sitting around the fire. That's for sure.
This is definitely a good, my mind, fall campfire beer.
And that is, we typically brew this beer. We only brew it once a year. And we typically brew it come fall time because, the high alcohol does make it a great winter beer. But in my mind, like you said, sitting around the campfire in the fall, out camping, that is the ideal situation for this beer. And so we usually try to release it right around that kind of late fall time, which can be kind of a mystery when that's going to hit us here in North Dakota. But
it comes eventually.
Yeah.
It does get here.
You know, and this year we got a great extended one.
Might only be one day, it could be a month, who knows?
Yep.
That's why you got to have everything ready for it when it does show up.
Agreed. Yeah, and in general, I would just say that this is, I mean, it's a really, really fun style. Again, to someone who's looking to get into the Scotch Ale style, be careful when you're out trying it at the tap room. You know, make sure to look at its ABV and stuff like that. You'll probably find some of them that are clocking in around that 6% range, and you know, you can maybe have a couple more of them than coming in at the 8.5, 9, 10% range. I've seen them as high as 10, 11, 12%. But it is a really fun style to try to get into, especially for a new craft beer drinker. It's not too assaultive on any of the flavors. It's well-rounded, it's complex, it's nuanced. That's all of my favorite things in one package, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And the more craft places I go to, you know, I've learned that you can generally talk to the bartender. Sometimes the owner or head brewer might even be there. Just ask questions if you want to know. I have never been told, no, I don't want to talk to you or anything like that. They usually always love what they do. They know what they do. So if you're curious, if you want to know more about a style, or if you just don't know where to start, you know, they'll ask you, generally you'll get asked some questions like, well, what do you like? Well, if you don't know, then just pick something. Well, what's that one on the board there? Tell me about that one. So that's how I've been getting into a lot more different types of craft beer, just striking up a conversation. And it does help that Dylan does own a brewery and I do come here very often. So,
and apart from brewing, I'm usually down in the tap room working too. And I mean, I personally love talking with people about beer. Even when it's people who come in for their very first time, they've never had craft beer before. You know, they might not really know what they like or what they want. But I really enjoy too. I'll ask people, you know, well, what do you drink in general apart from beer? What do you drink? Do you drink coffee? Do you drink cider at all? Do you drink juice, tea? You know, any of these things that just kind of can point me in the right direction of someone's palate. And this beer really does cover a lot of bases. If you like drinking a dry red wine, this has some of those nice tannic, rich characteristics of a dry red wine. Apart, it's a little sweeter, obviously. But again, this just checks a lot of boxes. And I find some folks who are really not craft beer drinkers, you'd think would steer away from the 8.5% big full charactered beer on the menu. But I get a lot of fairly new craft beer drinkers come in and they love this beer just as much as the well-seasoned drinkers do. So,
yep, I've watched plenty of people come into this place and just no clue. You know, you don't know what you don't know. Then as the days, weeks, and months go by, they're always back. All right, I'm ready for this new one. Let's see what you got. It's always nice to see people's minds getting opened up to the world of craft beer. You know, there's a lot more than, and I'm not knocking against it, but like the cheap box stuff.
Yep.
If that's your thing, then cool. Nothing wrong with that. But there's a very, very big world out there to explore.
And I think you touched on something too there. There's no reason to be ashamed. If you like drinking your domestic light beer, you don't need to be ashamed and worried about going into a brewery out of shame. I notice plenty of times in here that we have people come in and I'll ask them what they normally drink for beer. And they usually get a very ashamed look on their face and say, oh, you're not going to like to hear this, but I drink X, Y, and Z of the domestic light beers. And I always tell them I occasionally have the domestic light beers too. I always got a Pilsner on our board that's a nice, light, easy drinker. There's nothing to be ashamed in what your tastes are. And odds are, no matter what you like, the craft beer industry can really provide some great outlets for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing. Again, when you go into these craft beers, they usually have something, like you said, a Pilsner or something lighter that's more of like the widespread mainstream kind, but it's their own individual take on it.
And it's, exactly.
It usually doesn't scare people away when you have like a triple sour milkshake IPA, blah, you know, when the name of the beer is like hopped. Three paragraphs long. It's like anything, just start small.
And I will say this too, you know, the wee heavy branch of the Scottish ales, they may be a little much for some people starting out. But if you're looking to get into craft beer and you see a Scottish light or a Scottish export beer even on tap, they're a really good place to go. They're not too in your face. They're a malt forward beer, so you don't get that really punchy, hoppy character. I mean, for any of the non-craft beer drinkers out there, most of your domestic basic beers are not going to be hop forward. They are a malt forward, clean beer. And a lot of the Scottish ales, those Scottish lights and stuff like that, they're lower alcohol percentage. I mean, the Scottish lights and kind of the breakdown I had mentioned earlier in this episode, the light, heavy, export, and wee heavy categorization. So that's the Scottish light or the 60 shilling Scottish ale is going to come in under 3.5%. So it's a really easy one. It's not going to get you in too much trouble. The next step up, that Scottish heavy, even with the term being a Scottish heavy, it's still only between 3.5% and 4% alcohol. And then you get your export or your 80 shilling beer. That's going to be that 4% to 5.5% range. And then your wee heavies or the 90 shillings are going to be up there over 6%. So some of those lighter Scottish beers are a really good way if you're new into the craft beer world. They're a really good way to kind of start breaking that ice a little bit and venturing out. Don't be afraid. They are going to typically be a little darker. And I always tell people when they come in and sample beers, even like our Irish Red Ale, don't let the color put you off. It's not a big, heavy beer. It's still really well balanced and really quite easy drinking. And I find a lot of those lighter Scottish ales to be the same story. They are quite easy drinking, refreshing beers. The wee heavy is obviously going to be a little more full bodied, a little thicker, a little heavier. And that can be intimidating to some newer folks. But I think in general, those Scottish ales and Scotch ales is a really, really good place for craft beer drinkers to get a start.
Cheers to that.
Amen.
Well, I would say you covered quite a bit of ground there with that one. Definitely hope more people can come out and experience yours. And if you can't come all the way out to Mandan, North Dakota, try looking at your local liquor store or maybe you got a local place mix their own. I would definitely give it a shot.
Absolutely. They are a fairly popular style. You'll see them around. A lot of craft brewers are doing them. And I see them in a lot of liquor stores too. So I think if you're craving one and want to try the style out, I think there's an option out there for you to get into it for sure.
Definitely. Well, this was a great first episode, and I appreciate the listeners out there for tuning in, and I appreciate all the support from everybody else, especially Dylan letting me use his place to film.
Absolutely. I'm always here doing something, so sometimes it's fun to get away from keg cleaning and sit down and talk beer for a little while.
Indeed, and we got a lot of topics coming up, so until next time, cheers. The Umbibulous is made possible with Castos, giving creators the tools to connect with their community and audience. The music is courteous of Pond 5, with over 25 million royalty-free stock videos, music, photos, and sound effects. There's something for every creator. Today's content was recorded here at Dialectic Brewing Company in Mandan, North Dakota. I would like to thank Dylan Schaefer for the use of his facility and time to create this episode. And of course, a big thanks to all our listeners for all of your support. Until next time, cheers.